Anyway, we're going to look at Galatians tonight, and to be honest with you, I'm studying Galatians with the internationals, and so when Pastor asked me if I could fill in, I thought I'd share a little with you what the Lord's been sharing with me in that regard, and really, it's about staying the course. It's about having the stamina and the strength and the wisdom to do right and to sort out truth from error. We have a lot of error in our world today. The gospel has been compromised on every hand, more in the church than out of the church, unfortunately. And we're going to talk a little about that tonight and our responsibility to the gospel and how do we know what the gospel is. Those things. We're actually only going to, I know that sounds like a lot, we're not going to be that long actually, but we're just going to look at a few verses in Galatians. When I try to do this with the internationals, I usually plan 8 or 10 or more verses, and sometimes we get through 1 or 2, so that's the way it goes. But and we're there 2 hours, so I promise not to be that long tonight. But I want us to look. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to look at, we're going to concentrate really on verses 6 through 11. But let me start at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. And that sounds a little relevant, doesn't it? From this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in grace, in the grace of Christ, to a different gospel. That is, you're moving to a different gospel, not that Christ called you to a different gospel. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The word is anathema. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And I think we'll quit there, actually. Because we're not going to get that far anyway. So I want to talk about this idea of the gospel and about staying the course in our world. When you look at what was going on in Galatia, Galatia was in trouble. Now, Paul had been there on his first missionary journey, and he had just recently had left. He hadn't been gone very long when trouble arose. Trouble arose because there were Judaizers. There were those who were hanging on to Judaism, but in the church, who were promoting kind of a different gospel. In fact, they went as far as to say, you know, that Paul was kind of a Johnny-come-lately. You know, he wasn't one of the original 12, and he did not, this was their words, not mine, he did not get his revelation directly from Jesus. He got it later, and therefore his words weren't as authoritative. Their doctrine was a doctrine of grace is okay, but you need to keep the law, you need to do this, you need to do all of these works as well in order to be accepted by God. And so theirs was a grace plus works kind of doctrine, and they had really troubled the church with this. And Paul is now writing back to the church because some have deviated now from the faith and have accepted this idea of grace plus works. That is, that God's death on the cross alone, his payment for our sins alone, they were teaching was not enough. It wasn't sufficient in itself. You had to have these good works as well. And that's not too uncommon, by the way, in our world today, is it? I mean, most people would not throw out grace because everybody likes grace. We all need a little extra favor from God, but they want to say that you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this. You know, you got to say your prayers. You know, the Muslims do that too. Got to say your prayers, and you know, you got to give alms, and you know, you got to be in the church. And years ago, we used to say, you don't smoke, and you don't chew, and you don't go with girls who do. You know, that was kind of, we had these list of rules and regulations that you were not supposed to do in order to be a good Christian, to be acceptable to God. But folks, that is a lie. That is not what the Bible teaches. There is nothing that you personally can do to be accepted by God. Nothing you personally can do to be accepted by God. It's all grace. It is God's death on the cross, His substitution for you, His payment for your sins that purchases your salvation, and not just your justification, but will finish the job one day when you stand before Him in glory. It'll be that same blood that paved the way for you to be there. It will not be because you were a good Christian. It will not be because you've done right. It will not be because you've been better than somebody else. It'll be because Jesus Christ died for your sin and He paid for it. And if you are trusting in anything but that, you're in trouble. Yeah, you're in big trouble. And much of the Christian world today is, and we need to talk about it. And that's why Galatians talks about it. It was a problem in Paul's day. It's a huge problem in our day, and we're going to talk a little about it. In verse 6, Paul says, I'm amazed that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ. It was not long after they had converted, after Paul had established the church there and left, that they were easily turned to other things. And unfortunately, we are a little more susceptible when we're, you know, fairly new in the faith and are not well grounded. And that was their problem. Their problem was that they were not well grounded. Now, I'm a little sympathetic to them because the scriptures weren't as available to them as they are to us. You know, they had to get all of theirs verbally, unless they were a scholar like Paul and well educated. And there weren't copies just floating around so everybody could have their own. But still, they had an obligation and a responsibility to know the truth. And they, had they known the truth, had they understood the truth, they would not have so easily been turned away by error. And I think we get into trouble a lot of times because we trust in the truth that's given to us by somebody else rather than getting the truth for ourselves. Now, you know, we have a great pastor. In my estimation, probably the greatest pastor that I've been under, and I've been under many. I respect him the most. Not the most educated, and, you know, maybe not the most prolific, though he certainly is. He's well-trained, and he does a great job in the pulpit. But, you know, I've heard a few eloquent preachers in my day. But no man that I know his life would I hold in higher esteem than I do our pastor. So we're very privileged. But having said that, we need to be very careful that we don't get our gospel just from the pastor, that we don't get our doctrine just from the pastor. We need to be reading the Word of God for ourselves. We need to be discerning. You know, God gave us the Holy Spirit for a reason, so that we could know the Word of God, so that we could discern truth from error and not have to call pastor to find out if something was true or not. You know, it's our job to know it. And if we don't know it, we're at risk from the Judaizers. They may not be promoting Judaism in our world, but there are more people in the world promoting more gospels than any other time in history. And it's so easy in our world today to be swayed from the truth. And that was his argument with them, is that they were promoting a different gospel. Now he goes on to say that it wasn't really another gospel, because the truth is there's really only one. Now the word gospel means good news. Okay, so if you think that there's only one and there can only be one, we're talking about the broad use of the term, and in the sense of the good news that provides for our eternal destiny. But there were those who were preaching this gospel of grace plus words. It was prevalent, and it was pulling the people away from the church, so that they began to trust in what they were doing and not doing more than what they were trusting in what God had done for them. And that's a problem. They were, Paul, in Paul's words, perverting the gospel. There were three errors in this idea of another gospel. First of all, there was a deception. The Judaizers came in and spoke words as authorities. They spoke as authorities in the church. These were men in leadership, and they spoke with authority in the church, and yet they spoke truth. Now, when you get into the Bible, there are two issues that where you can get into error in the Bible. One is that you twist what's in the Bible, and you say it means something else, or it says something else than it really says. The other is that you add to what the Bible says. And what they were doing is they were adding to the biblical message. They were saying, yes, it's justification by faith through grace, but you have all of these other things that you have to do. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says it's justification by faith, by grace through faith, plus nothing. There's nothing more you have to do to be saved. Now, there are some things that you ought to do after you get saved, but to get saved, there's nothing more you have to do. So there is this idea of deception. And let me tell you, there's real deception in our world. We're going to talk a little about it. But there are probably more in the church than ever before. In my lifetime, there is more of the church that is in deception than ever I have seen in my lifetime. And I'm pushing... I'm pushing 60. I'm over 60. So the reality is that we are, in fact, in my opinion, in the Laodicean era that's talked about in Revelation, where those things become prevalent. If you want to know what's going on in our world today, if you want a description of what's going on in the church, read Revelation chapter 3 about the Laodicean church. That is the church in the world that you and I live in today. There was a deception, and then there was a departing, a turning away. You see, it wasn't just that the Judaizers came in and spoke error. It was that they believed it. And they believed it enough that they changed how they were acting. It's kind of like the story of Peter, who was eating with all the Gentiles, no problem, you know, eating all that pork or whatever with the Gentiles. Until the Jews showed up, you know, until the other apostles showed up, and then he wasn't willing to do it. He changed his behavior. Well, that's what these people were doing. They had believed what they heard, and they changed their behavior accordingly. They had turned away from the truth of the gospel, and we need to be careful, folks. There's a lot of false messages out there today, and we need to be careful that we don't subtly buy into them. There are a lot of independent, fundamental Baptist churches that have gone over the hill on legalism and made it all about what you do. And it's not about what you do. It's about who you know and what he did for you. So there's a departure, a turning away from the truth. It is the same word that we use for repentance. It is the idea of doing a 180 and going back the other direction. And that's exactly what they were doing. And there was a desertion. They had deserted Christ himself, turned their back on Christ and the truth of the gospel and the word of God, and have gone the other way. And Paul was writing to them because he understood the implications of what they were doing and the long-term ramifications. You know, someone once said that a bold-faced lie is no problem. I mean, if somebody were to come into our congregation today and tell a bold-faced lie about the Bible or the gospel, assuming we knew anything about the Bible or the gospel, that's probably no problem for us, because we would recognize it very quickly as a bold-faced lie. The real deception is the one that's so close to the truth that you can't tell the difference. You see, the more subtle, the more danger it is. The little white lies, those are what get us. Those are the most deceptive. Those are the ones that get us into trouble, not the bold-faced lies. And so that's what was going on in the church. There was this this slight moving away. But the problem with slightly moving away, I spent 10 years in the Navy, and part of my job had to do with navigation. And I know that if you are off just a degree on your course, when you get several thousand miles down the way, you're way off of course. You know, you don't have to be far off in the beginning. And the problem that we have in the church today is that there are many subtleties. I'm talking about the emergent church and some of those things that are going on, because, as we'll see in a moment, they've made it about works, not about grace. It's very subtle. It's very subtle, but it will lead you down the wrong path. And we need to be very, very careful. The causes for this in their world was there were ungrounded believers. They had no discernment. They weren't able to discern truth from error. They were listening to the wrong people. Dangerous stuff, listening to the wrong people. And they had become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. What their fellow man thought was more important to them than what God thought. And friends, we better be careful. Because in our world today, I see a lot of man-pleasing going on. And not so much commitment to pleasing God. It's why we're so easily swayed from the course of truth. Because we're more concerned about what our brother thinks than what God thinks. And whenever we get into that mode, we're in big trouble. The solutions are simple. We need to know the truth for ourselves. Now, I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. We just got to get in the Word and stay in the Word and know the truth for ourselves. Do not take what you believe about God from your pastor unless you have verified it in the Word of God for yourself. I sat in the largest church. It was in Florida. Southern Baptist Church at the time, back in the days when Southern Baptists used to be a little more solid than they are today, doctrinally. The pastor was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention at the time. And this man sat there, and he would make comments and wedge him in between Scripture just as if they were carried the same weight, his opinion, as if it carried the same weight as Scripture. And these people soaked it up like a sponge, because it was a big church, a lot of money, a lot of prestige. But the pastor taught error. I'll give you an example. He used to say in Galatians, where it talks about you're sealed with the Spirit, he used to say that means that Satan can't get at you. He doesn't say that in the Bible. That was his opinion. But the problem was, he said it just as if it carried the same weight as the gospel when he shared it from the pulpit. And you could go visit with people in the congregation, and they believed it just as much as they believed the words that they read. Why? Because the pastor said it. Careful. You better validate it yourself, because you're responsible for it. He also used to say that when you get to heaven, you just think yourself from one place to the other. I'm not quite sure where he even got that idea. But, I was just a young Christian. I saw through it because I didn't grow up in the church, so I was a little more skeptical than probably some others. But I could see what was going on. I could see that what he was saying wasn't matching what the text said. But those who were more mature than I would argue with me and sent me to talk to the pastor about my concerns. So I did go to the pastor and talk to him about my concerns. You want to know what he told me his study methods were? He went down to the local Christian bookstore and bought a couple commentaries, and he condensed those into his messages. That was his study method. This guy was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Well known. If I mentioned his name, there would be many in here who would know it. I tell you the truth, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You need to know the Word of God for yourself. You need to know what's being preached from the pulpit so you can validate the message. Number two, you have to wisely choose who your teachers and counselors are. It's important. It's important because you will follow them. You need to be careful who your counselors are. And thirdly, you need to choose to serve God rather than men. We'll talk a little more about that. So I want you to realize that there's really only one gospel. There's many perversions of the gospel out there, but there's really only one. And you need to make sure that you're grounded on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're willing to accept no other. There's a new Jesus in town, someone has said, and he brings a new gospel message with him. It's a message of love and acceptance. That's being preached all through our community here. Love and acceptance. But there's no confrontation about sin. There's no condemnation of evil living. There's no repentance. It's just all about love. That love will send him right to hell. We got to be careful about the message that we're listening to. We got to be careful about the people that we're hearing it from. It's not just love. There's sin that has to be dealt with. If you want to spend eternity with Jesus, you need to deal with sin. Just love won't do it. There are other gospels in our church today. I just wanted to give you a few. These other gospels are Christless, crossless, and costless. They don't cost you anything. You can go and easy in, easy out. It's no problem. In these big mega churches, you can go in, not be known by anybody, and be there and be happy, as fat as a pig and slop. And it doesn't matter. Yeah, but it will one day. When you stand before God, it will matter. In this version of Christianity, you can exist perfectly well without Christ's atoning. Don't need Christ's death. You know, it's about healthy self-esteem. You know, it's about looking good. It's about acting right in front of others. It's not about sin. It's not about help. It's not about payment for your debt, your sin debt. And one day you can spend all of your life in those churches and look good. But one day when you stand before God, you won't look so good. Because God sees through all of that to the truth, to the garbage within. It is not enough. It is not enough to look good on the outside. It is not enough to be in church. It is not enough to tithe. It is not enough to sing and to pray and to even go and worship, to even leave teen groups. That stuff by itself is not enough. You must deal with sin in your life. There must be a point at which you confess your sins and accept God's payment for the penalty of your sins and receive Him into your life. Apart from that, the rest will not do you any good. It might look good on the outside here. You know, we talk about life coaches in these churches. But they're leading him down the wrong path, these coaches are. There is the gospel of acceptance. That's out there today. It's all about being accepted. It's inclusive. It matters not so much what you believe as it does what you do. We're all about being on the same road. We're all on the same road. I was in Minneapolis a few years ago. At the mosque in Minneapolis when there was I think I've told this here before to some, but there was a Jewish rabbi, there was a Muslim imam, and there was a minister of the gospel, quote-unquote, broadly used, pastor who stood in front of the group there and said, we're all on the same road, we're all believe basically the same thing, and we're all okay. It's a lie, folks. It's not true. It's the gospel of acceptance. Everybody's okay. Nobody's in trouble. We're all eventually going to make it. It is a lie of the devil. We're not all going to make it. And you better make sure you're going to. Rick Warren is a Grace Plus Works guy. And I mention him because he's well known. I didn't mean to go there. I think this is important. This is a quote from him. I'm looking for a second reformation, he says. The first reformation was about beliefs, he says. This one is going to be about behavior. The first one was about creeds. This one is going to be about deeds. It's about what you do. It is not going to be about what does the church believe, but what is the church doing. That, folks, will get you into trouble. It is about what you believe. There is only one truth. And you can do all the great works in the world and still go to hell. It's a lie. It's a false gospel. And it's being preached all across our cities, all across our communities today. We need to be on our guard. We need to understand. There's the gospel of good works. We've already talked a little about that. There's the gospel of religious gospel. That is, it's okay just as long as you go to church and, you know, and you fellowship with other Christians and, you know, don't condemn anybody. No repentance required. You know, a lot of our ecclesiastical high churches go this route. There's no preaching about repentance, but, you know, it's just about getting together and being accepting of one another and having a good time. And you know, it's okay if you praise God. You know, don't get too serious about it. You don't have to change your life or anything. No, that's not true, folks. It better change your life or it's not real. And then what I call the fast food gospel or the grab it and go gospel, that is, you go in for a little tidbit, and go back to life as normal. You know, unchanged. Those things are prevalent in our world today. There are many more that we could talk about. Those are just most of them. This is a quote from 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false prophets, or false apostles, pardon me, deceitful workers, transferring themselves into apostles of Christ. In other words, they're trying to look like they're apostles of Christ. And no wonder. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Folks, it doesn't matter how good they look. It matters whether they preach the truth or not. It is not about what they do. It is not about how successful they are. I should have put in the gospel of success. Because it's not about how successful they are. It's not about these big fancy mega churches. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being a big church. But if in most cases they've compromised the truth and made it easy for people to get in, they call it seeker friendly. Yeah. Seeker friendly. They can get in easy. They can be they're friends to anybody who comes. And that the same friend might as well stab you in the back because they're leading him down the road to hell. The Laodicean lie. The brothers and sisters, this is a quote from David Wilkinson. He says, brothers and sisters, this is a lukewarm generation. You don't have to be a theologian to understand we've come to the Laodicean era. Jesus prophesies what arise in the last days simply compares what Jesus said about the lukewarm Laodicean church with what today is called the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus warns, he who has ears to hear, David Wilkins says he best listen. The Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. It is important, folks, that we understand the truth. that we don't just accept whatever's being preached just because it looks good, because people look successful, doesn't mean God is blessing it. So what was true for them is true for us. We need to remember that there are other gospel causes. You know, the gospel causes underground believers is because there are underground believers who have no ungrounded believers who have no discernment. The reason that these gospels go on in the world today, the reason that this promotion of wealth and this idea of the Laodicean church and the idea that it can be seeker friendly and you know, we're all going on the same road, all of those ideas are because the believers are ungrounded in the Word of God. They get away with that. But many are going to be led astray because of it. Make sure you're not one of them. The way you're going to make sure you're not one of them is you have to be grounded in the Word of God. That means you have to spend a little time with it. If you don't spend a little time with it, you will never understand the Word of God. So it's important that you be grounded. And it's important who you listen to, folks. And if you don't know who to listen to, ask somebody that you trust. It's important. You know, with the modern media, you can get anybody. We won't talk about some of the crazies that are on radio and TV today. You can get any kind of message out there. You know, I often have opportunity to hear what the Muslims are saying because I work with them and I'm down there often. They have their messages playing over the loudspeaker, etc. And I hear a lot of what they have to say. They're not so far from the truth. But the distance is critical. The difference is absolutely deadly because it's going to send them straight to hell. You know, they're very moral people. They probably believe more of the Bible than some of you do. The problem is what they don't believe, what they reject. The problem is that it's not justification by faith. They believe in some of that, but it's grace plus works. They're trying to earn their way to heaven, and that won't get it done. Their hope is in themselves, not in Jesus Christ. So we need to be careful who we listen to. We need to be not be men pleasers. We need to be willing to stand up. If everybody else in the church goes wrong, you need to be willing to stand up for what is true. And if you have to, go start your own church. You know, listen, we're going closer and closer and closer to a day where it's going to be tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher to find a church where the truth is preached. I'm telling you, I've been out there. I've been around a lot. I've seen it already in the last few years. The church is going, it's like sheep going over a cliff. I mean, it's going at such a pace. It amazes me how gullible the church has become and how willing they are to go off on this wild goose chase of doctrine that has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. But they are. They are in large numbers, and it's multiplying, and it's getting more prevalent every day, and it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher for us to stand for the truth. But stand you must. Your eternal destiny depends on it. And then you must choose to serve God than men. The passage I quoted in Luke 24:14, Jesus is speaking to the disciples about persecution. He's saying to them, look, when you go before these governors and all of that, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll help you with what you're going to say. Just settle it in your heart beforehand that you're going to say what I tell you to say. That's the basic gist of it. So what I'm saying to you is that we need to settle it now, other than when we're out in the trenches dealing with error. You need to know what the truth is now. You need to prepare yourself ahead of time. You need to determine in your own heart that you're going to serve God no matter what. Now. Because the day is coming when it'll be a lot tougher and you need to call on that. And it's a lot easier if you've already made that decision and you don't have to do it on the fly. So I'm encouraging you to do that. And again, the quote from Revelations, we'll end with that. That comes from the passage, the end of the passage about the Laodicean church. And Jesus says to them, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I'm saying to you tonight, if you've got ears to hear, listen to what the Bible is telling you about the truth, not to all of the world out there who has 100 million different gospels that are convenient for man but will take you straight to hell. You need to know the truth. You need to commit yourself to spend some time in the Word of God so you know it, so you can discern the error when it comes, because it is already here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. I pray that you would help us as a people to know your word, to know the truth from error. Give us discernment, Father. There is much deception in our world today, and much of it very subtle, but it leads to error rather than to truth. It leads to destruction rather than eternal salvation. And I pray, Father, that you would, for these that are here, I pray, I know I'm in many respects preaching to the choir. The most faithful are usually here on Wednesday night, the most knowledgeable, the most grounded. But we need to share this message with others as well. As leaders, as in the church, we need to help our brothers and sisters become grounded in the Word of God, so that they might stand in times of error, and because there are many false teachers in the world. I pray, Father, that you would help us to do that. I pray that you would help us to be faithful, to read your word, to study your word, to know your word, to know the truth, and then that you might use us to help others along the path. And we'll give you the glory and the honor, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.